It is time for the Border News Roundup Friday mornings. We get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. Marshall's the editor and publisher of The Timber Jay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Thanks for being with us today, Marshall.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, there's a big story, complicated story, that The Timber Jay covered about Representative Nolan, about the meeting with the Interior Department. Now, this has to do with Twin Metals. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, supporters of that proposed Twin Metals copper-nickel mine near Ely are hoping that Representative Nolan's interventions with the Trump administration could breathe new life into that project. I'm sure a lot of your listeners remember back last December, I think we had talked about it at the time, that the Forest Service had indicated they were not interested in having that Twin Metals project go forward. So they had recommended against renewal of two critical federal mineral leases that really are kind of in the heart of that deposit that Twin Metals has been trying to develop here for a number of years. So without those federal mineral leases, there was no way that this project could go forward. And at the same time, they had recommended that the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management, which actually oversees those mineral leases, that they have engaged in a two-year study of possibly setting aside about 234,000 acres of the Superior National Forest, kind of on the southwest side of the boundary waters and within the boundary waters watershed. Within the Superior National Forest, not within the boundary waters, but just outside the boundary waters. And they wanted to set that aside for mineral leasing for a 20-year period, and basically out of concern that any kind of mineral activity or mining in particular within that area could threaten the water quality downstream, which, of course, would enter into the boundary waters, because the Twin Metals mine, the proposed mine, is located just a few miles outside of the boundary waters. Gist of the story here is that Congressman Nolan had met back on April 26th with the new Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, and he's making the case for overturning those two Obama administration decisions, you know, both on the mineral leases. He would like the Trump administration to essentially, you know, tear up the record of decision that was made originally and then do a new decision that would allow those mineral leases to be renewed, probably for a period of 10 years, and then also to set aside any consideration of a withdrawal of lands from the mineral leasing program. And, you know, at this point, obviously this has ignited some concern from environmentalists. Obviously, you know, supporters of this are hopeful anyway that this project might get at least, you know, back on track. It's certainly no guarantee that it would be approved ultimately, and certainly no guarantee that it would ever move forward economically. They had done a pre-feasibility study on this mine proposal back, several years ago now. Twin Metals had actually put this study out, and it indicated that it was marginally financially viable, but that was with metal prices that were much above current levels. So, you know, looking at current metal prices for copper, nickel, and whatnot, that mine proposal, as they originally envisioned it, would not be financially feasible. But things change, you know, so over time it could become that. But, you know, Nolan's actions here have really irritated critics of the Twin Metals project, who certainly believe that the mine project was all but dead after the decisions by the Obama administration. So they're very disappointed. The congressman is trying to, you know, reverse those decisions. And they're also critical that he's dealing with the Trump administration, which I think anyone with an environmental bent, I think, is very concerned that the administration has not been particularly friendly towards environmental concerns as a whole, you know, by putting someone like Scott Pruitt, who's a very strong critic of the EPA and environmental protection laws, at the head of the EPA, you know, that was certainly a signal that they're going to take a very different approach to environmental issues than the previous administration. And the interesting thing, too, about it is as the possibility of this mine moving ahead has suddenly come back, critics have been focusing also on the environmental record of the parent company of Twin Metals. You know, Twin Metals is just it's basically a small venture that's owned by a company called Antofagasta, which is a Chilean mining company. It's the largest mining company in Chile. And they have an environmental record that's somewhat checkered, for sure. In fact, just last year, Chile fined them as much as $23 million. At least that's what they were facing in fines as a result of a number of violations of their environmental permits there. In 2014, the Chilean Supreme Court ordered the company to restore drinking water supplies to a community near this one of their large mines called the Los Pelambres mine, after the company installed a tailings dam that altered the flow of groundwater and also polluted the groundwater that a nearby community had depended on for drinking. So there were some issues there, certainly, and I suspect that if this project continues to move forward in some way, that the focus will continue to increase on Antofagasta's environmental record. Also, the interesting thing about it, too, is that the primary owner of Antofagasta is a man named Andronico Luksic, and his family is very well off. He's a billionaire, and he has a history of basically embroiling top leaders in ethics controversies. In fact, 2 years ago, he embroiled the Chilean president, who had just been elected, after he arranged a $10 million loan from a bank that he controlled to the new president's daughter. This was back in 2013. That actually ended up being discovered and became an issue in Chile back in 2015. And then here in the U.S., interestingly enough, Luksic purchased a $5.5 million mansion in a expensive Washington, D.C. neighborhood in December. And 12 days later, press reports confirmed that this mansion was going to be rented to Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner. Now, we don't know what the terms of that rental agreement might be, but certainly ethics lawyers have raised questions about that because, you know, government officials, and of course both of them are now government officials, they typically try to avoid financial and contractual entanglements, you know, with individuals or companies that are seeking to influence policy decisions or who have ongoing litigation with the government. And in this case, Twin Metals acknowledges that they're actively lobbying the Trump administration to overturn the decision on those mineral leases, and they're also engaged in ongoing litigation trying to overturn that decision as well. So, you know, certainly there are some entanglements there. And I should mention, however, that a representative of Luksic told the Wall Street Journal that he purchased the mansion as an investment and that the rental to Trump's immediate family was merely coincidental.
Very complicated story there. Is the governor, Governor Dayton, still against the Twin Metals project?
He is. Yeah, that hasn't changed at all. And okay. Nolan's position hasn't really changed either. He was always, you know, supportive of this project moving forward, and he's always differed with Dayton on that issue.
Let's move on now to another story you've been covering in the Timber Jay. This legislative session saw a lifting of the Sunday liquor laws. What does the Ely City Council think of it, Marshall?
Well, it's interesting, and I suspect the experience in Ely will be similar to how this is going to be handled in other communities. Basically, it turns out that there are three off-sale liquor stores in Ely, and none of them want to be open on Sunday. You know, they're family-owned, and certainly it's an issue with family-owned liquor stores. People don't want to have to give up, you know, another day, and they don't think that being open an extra day is necessarily going to increase their sales. So either that they lose a day that they normally would have off, or they'd have to hire somebody to work those hours. So there's been some concern, and in fact, that's one of the reasons that Minnesota kept the prohibition on Sunday liquor sales for a long time, was because many independent liquor stores opposed it. And because of that, I mean, it looks like Ely may end up staying dry on Sunday, like they have been for 159 years. And the council actually had made that decision this week, that because there's no interest among the existing liquor stores, that they will not extend the ability for liquor stores to stay open on Sunday. So they will control that through their own local liquor ordinance. So if people in the Ely area need to get something on Sunday, they're probably going to have to drive out of town to do it. And the other interesting thing, too, is we had a local restaurant that is open on Sunday, and they wanted to be able to sell some specialty wines out of a little, you know, attached facility there to their restaurant. And the council denied that, which was somewhat interesting because there were certainly some on the council and also their city attorney who questioned whether they can really legally do that as long as the company, you know, or the restaurant owners are willing to comply with whatever their regulations are. Generally, you can't, you know, deny somebody who wants to open up a business as long as it's complying with the ordinance. The other sort of issue, I think, that raised some eyebrows was that part of the reason was they had three local liquor stores that were opposed to granting that license. And, you know, you're certainly not supposed to take action like that, you know, in an anti-competitive way. So my guess is even though they did not approve this time, I suspect this issue will be back before the council, maybe with some additional information that might allow it to move forward. So we'll see. We'll be watching that one.
Before we go, Marshall, there's a great photo on the front of the Timber Jay with a couple of dogs on a boat opening fishing on Lake Vermilion. How did it go?
Well, it went really well. I went out with a friend of mine who's a fishing guide on Lake Vermilion, and we kind of wanted to just hit a bunch of different places on the lake, get some photos, kind of experience the opening day across a big swath of a lake. You know, and it's such a big lake, you can't really cover the whole thing, but we covered a lot of territory. And, it was fun watching the people out fishing. I got lots of pictures of people catching walleye, but I thought it was funny. I was amazed at how many boats had dogs in them. It's like, I think for, you know, people like to go fishing, but I think dogs get into fishing even more than people. So I got lots of pictures of people with dogs just fascinated, you know, watching their line the whole time. And, of course, that's not unusual. My father used to have a old black lab, and he'd go out fishing with us, and he just loved to fish, got so excited. And my guide friend, he actually has a big yellow lab, and he came out with us as well. So everybody seemed to have a dog to go fishing on Vermilion this year. It was kind of funny.
That's great. That's Marshall Helmberger, editor of the Timber Jay. We check in with him Friday mornings. Thanks, Marshall. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
Cause I bring the truth out, putting the rhymes every time, let me remind you. They tell me to cool out, cause I bring the truth out, putting the rhymes every time, let me remind you. They tell me to cool out, cause I bring the truth out, putting the rhymes every time, let me remind you. They tell me to cool out, cause I bring the truth out, putting the rhymes every time, let me remind you.